I just saw an interesting, it's nothing to do with anything. I just want to share with you an interesting Igas Chazanish, which I was interesting. I don't know if what you think about it. It's just a little. He gives me always enormous chizik to go through the letters of the Chazanish. If you ever have spare time and you want to go through short, inspiring, and very interesting, as well as very deep little. You go through the Igas Chazanish, the letters of the Chazanish.
Has it got a long list from you then?
Yeah.
Good evening, good evening.
Good evening, Rabbi.
Good evening. Good, Jonathan. Hi, good evening, good evening. Jonathan, Thursday evening, okay? 20 past 8.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Good. Oh, you couldn't hear from the recording? No, I think that he was both around the table. So we're going to have to. Okay, I think we're both on the table. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I saw an interesting Chazanish. Gentlemen, I strongly recommend whenever you want. Chazanish is amazing. Chazanish, famously Chazanish, his personality was so extraordinary. Chazanish was the greatest. He was really the greatest in a generation. I think it was Nift 1954. For most of his life, was completely unknown. Chazanish writes in one of the letters he said that he doesn't, his whole life, he has refrained from, somebody must have asked him to pask in a question between two people, had a disagreement, a monetary disagreement. And Chazanish writes, my whole life, I learned Torah, and he's not scared of paskening, but he said, my whole life, I've refrained from paskening monetary matters. I don't pasken monetary matters. Not that he didn't know it. Oh yes, of course he knew it. He wrote for him. I mean, you know, Chazanish was well versed in Dalat Chalke Shulchan Aruch, in Shas, everywhere. It was no problem. But he didn't want to pasken shyness, which were monetary matters. And he explained, and the truth is, for historical, for those who are historically interested, just a little piece of history. He was offered, although he was Litvish, obviously, and he was, he was a founder of Bnei Brak. But he was offered to be the Rav of the Eidah Charedis in Yerushalayim. You know, Eidah Charedis, which is, in our eyes, and Charedis quite, you know, in the world of, Satma, Chassidus, and everything. But he was offered that, job, to be the Rav of the Eidah Charedis in Yerushalayim. And he declined, for three reasons. And one of the three reasons was, because to be a dayan of the Avbezin of the Eidah Charedis, that would imply also to pasken monetary matters, and he said, "I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. If you happen to change that and tweak that, we can talk about it. We can negotiate. But as long as I have to pasken chosh mishpat shalis, monetary disagreements, I'm not going there." And it was they said, "You know, a dayan has got to do that," and that was the end of it. And he never became the Rav of Yerushalayim of the Eid Chredis. So he said, but he says, "I'll tell you why." He explains that. That's very interesting. He said, "Well, I'll tell you why I'm not." It's not a lack of confidence, by all accounts, and it's not a lack of. He said, he knows the halacha well enough. But it's just a three-liner. But he says that inevitably, when there is a disagreement between two people, and I have to pasken according to one, there will be somebody else that will be disappointed. By definition, inevitably, there's a din Torah. So one party will win, the other will lose, and he will be disappointed. So that I'm not prepared to do. Although he's in the wrong, and I know that he's in the wrong, but to cause that pain and that disappointment in somebody, although he's wrong, he's clearly wrong, and I know that he's wrong, but I don't want to do that. Why do I need to be we say in Yiddish, why do I need to be the schlechter? Why do I need to be the bad guy to tell somebody that he's wrong and he's going to lose money, even though he is in the wrong? But he said there's still a sense of pain and disappointment. And he says, I'm not prepared to do that. And that's why it appears. That's why the Chazanish always refused and refrained for all his life to pasken monetary matters. It shows us a bit of what Midas is meant to, Midas is meant to look at. Of course, you can argue on that, and I'm sure many Rabbonim will hold that, all the Dayanim who pasken monetary matters, they look at it a bit differently. They obviously hold that, if he's in the wrong, then, you're just sorting out the din, you're sorting the halacha, you're sorting out emes, which is fine. So, nobody asks him to put himself in that situation. But, Moshe Rabbeinu, yes. Yeah, absolutely. So there's certainly a strong argument. But Chazanish felt, I don't have to be the one to do it. I don't have to do that. Why do I have to do this? So even, and it's interesting because I'm putting in the context of something else. Chazanish was quoted in saying, I saw it in numerous for him. It's a fascinating statement. This Chazanish, we have to realize Chazanish was the greatest giant. It was unbelievable. Just look at the Chazanish's svaras, and the Chazanish is so cold. The sugi is like sharp. There's nothing like the Chazanish. There's nothing quite like it. And the Chazanish writes, he was quoted in saying, I saw in three svarim, Chazanish apparently said, there's nothing greater in this world to pass through 70 years in this world. 70 years in this world. There's nothing greater than go through 70 years in this world and not have hurt somebody. So there's nothing greater than that. To go through 70 years without having caused pain to somebody else. He said, if somebody reaches that level, that's the greatest level a person can reach. And that's after the goyness and the godless and the enormous chokhmah and the Torah that the Chazanish had. There's nothing greater than pass through 70 years and not having hurt somebody's feeling. I just want to share that with you because it just gave me a bit of chizik. Okay, gentlemen, we're up to the same Tovkuf, your test. And I want to go through today. I made a mistake. We're up to Simon Tov Kuf Yud Ches, and we are up to Seif Ches, and I want to do Ches and Test. Now, although in principle I want to move ahead, but there's a fascinating halacha here which I want to discuss in Seif Cotton Mem Hey. So I want to slow down a bit and focus on that as well a bit. So let's get to Seif Ches first. Okay, Seif Ches is talking about, again, we're moving on a new topic a little bit. We spoke yesterday about Muktzeh. Here again, we're going to be talking a little bit about Muktzeh, but a slightly different scenario in Hilchas Muktzeh. And that's the following case. Neutlin Eitzim Asmuchin Lidofne Asuka. Okay, this is now talking about, are you allowed to take the Eitzim, the woods, the pieces of wood, Hasmuchin Lidofne Asuka, which are connect, leaning, lying on Dofne Asuka, on the walls of the Sukkah, or Masikin Boyan, and take them for firewood. So we're talking about over here, you've got pieces of wood, and you want to know, can I use them for my fire? Again, we're talking about Yom Tov, which you can make fire. The Shaila is about Muktzeh. I've run out of wood. Do you ever use wood for fire? Like, I don't know, do you have in holidays or anything, you ever done that? Has anybody got experience in it? Because I do. Yeah, you take, you put the woods and you put in the, it's a skill. You've got to know how to do it. And you've done it, you know, nobody has ever, yeah, it's good. In the chalet in Switzerland. You know, never been. Okay, so he ran out of wood. He ran out of, he's got no wood. Now he says, oh, that sukkah. Wow, maybe I can take some wood. Not the actual walls of the sukkah. The tfanas of the sukkah, obviously not. It would be quite, would be rather silly to take the walls down to use it as for the fire. That would be rather silly. So, but he's got additional spares which is leaning on it. Can you just use that for the fire? So, the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, you can. Noitlin Eitzim Asmuchim Ledofne Asuk. You may take those woods, Masikim Boyan, you can make fire. Now, mind you, it's Sefkot Lamed Ches, the Mishavot tells us, Zerseif Mayre Besukkah De Alma. Sukkah does not necessarily mean a sukkah in our sense, but in a more broader sense, what is it? A booth, whatever, like any kind of storage area, which is just very basic. So, it's not only that. It's also a sukkah mamash. So it could be either a real sukkah or a. You can take those woods. Mishnah Buz, Lamed Tes tells us. Lamed Tes in Mishnah Buz. Hasmuchim. The Eitzim shall sukkah atzmon. Certainly, the woods of the sukkah. Oi. Or schach shela, or the actual schach of that sukkah. You certainly may not take it. You certainly may not take them and use it as fire. Mitam stiras binyan, because you are destroying the this piece of property. You're destroying it by taking it, whether it's the schach or the walls. Verak. Only kanim shesomchon tzivos atfanas. You've got spare woods which are leaning on it. Kevon sheloy nergui madoifen. They are not tied and not connected to the walls. Loy botilagavo is not Botel, it's not nullified towards the wall. Ve'ein boshem stira, and that's not considered stira. So yes, you can take it. It's not mukta, it's not stira. You can take those extra woods and use them for your fire, with pleasure. Yeah, so you'd be, you're right, it would probably darbonon in the first, it's darbonon in the first place. Yeah, it would be still darbonon, yeah. Yes. So it doesn't have to be. Mishnah Berurah specifically says it's either or. It doesn't necessarily need to be on sukkah. If it's used for the tfanas, yeah. Yeah, but he said it doesn't have to be a sukkah and it doesn't have to be on sukkahs. It could be any, any. Well, if it's not part of the wall, it's fine. Okay. Continues the Ramah. Vuad in bottom line of 284. Vuadin im zorek chavilois. If you've got bundles al aschach, te'enu batelis l'gabe aschach. So now, again, it could be a Yom Tov sukkah or a whole year sukkah that you've got bundles of schach on the. On that sukkah, you can take those bundles off also. It's not going to be bottle towards the schach. And if you ever had in mind, perhaps I'm going to take those spare bamboo stick for my fire, it's not going to be mukta, it's not seer. You can take those and use them for your fire. It's not bottle. Now sif test is really something we've got to have discussing. It's unbelievably interesting how Reb Shlomo Zalman always gets out of those halachas which sound to us at times so foreign and abstract, how he brings that into our kitchens. It's fascinating. That's the goodness of Shlomo Zalman Oibach. Now he talks about us, but it looks so foreign to us, we're going to see it in our fridges. Bais shumole peiros, a house which is bais, a house shumole peiros, which is full of fruit. Muchonim, ready to use and ready to eat, venifchas. And that house now gets nifchas. It gets partially destroyed, there's a hole. So it's partially not destroyed, I would say damaged. What did you say?
Breached.
Much better, thank you, breached. Partially breached. There's a hole now. No tail, you can take now mimokim from the place abchas, from the breach, from the hole. So what's going on over here? What we are talking about over here is a storage. How should we call it? A storage
unit.
Yeah, which really is not meant for access on Yom Tov. Okay, you've got loads and loads of potatoes there. You've got, you know, remember those people didn't, you know, go shopping every week. You have got a whole month's, a whole, season supply of strawberry, I don't know, whatever. And it's in there. You didn't plan to open it over Yom Tov at all. It's locked up and it's closed. Now, what happened was a bit of an incident. There was actually two simultaneous incidents that took place. First of all, you ran out of potatoes in Yom Tov and you just needed more potatoes. All right, okay, we can live with that. But instantly, what happened was that also they just happened to have a massive breach on Yom Tov due to a tornado. It collapsed. And now you want to know, can I take those strawberries from there, or those tomatoes, and use them? Can I, yes or no? So there's an argument to say that no, you can't, because this was not accessible before Yom Tov. Remember, this was a locked unit. This was closed, shut, and completely, you couldn't, it was locked down. It was, you couldn't get in, you couldn't get out, that was it. So you could argue that you can't use it on Yom Tov just because there's a breach. You can't. Or perhaps you're going to say, no, forget it, now it's open, you can access it and take it. What's important to remember is also there are no mukta. Those potatoes are not mukta, and whatever the item is inside, this is not something which really be mukta. This is muchonim. So we're talking about pears, fruit, which was not mukta per se. So what would you say? So Shurnach says, It's fine. No, tell me mokem apchas. You can take. Let's go through the words again. See if there's. We've got to be very careful with these words. Bais a house shemale peris, which is full of fruit. Muchonim, which were ready, i.e., they were non-mukta items. Venifchas, and it was breached, it was opened. Noitel, you may take mimokim from the place, apchas from the opening. Now, the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkotin Mem Gimel tells us, Shumole Peirois, full of fruit, Roit Shalema, Vayesosim, Mikolzad, and it was actually shut from all the sides. Sifkot Memdala tells us Muchonim was ready. Roit Zalem Lafuke Hichnisam Shom LaOitzel Zman Rav. This is not. This was. It was ready, and it's not. It's not. Ve'avale Mukta. It's not. It's not something which would be considered Mukta. Okay. Now the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Memhei. Allow me to skip a few lines. He says. I'm going to two lines from the two lines before the wide lines. V'chein, similarly, who hadin b'mishiyesh loy lefosos tmunim bevoir. What's a lefes? I forgot what lefes is. What is it? Parsnip is it? Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Okay. V'hadin b'mishiyesh loy lefosos. So we've got parsnips tmunim bevoir. Now look at this scenario. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mishneh Berurah compares this to the following case. You got some sort of vegetable, which is smunim bevoy. This what there was no fridges and freezers. Haboy said, remember there was no fridge. What do you do if you've got some vegetables which you want to save for a few weeks? You don't want to use it today. You want to save it for next week. What do you do with it? You put it in the earth, because that's the coolest place around. Pardon? You did, yeah. So if you pickle it, you keep it on the roof. If you want to keep it nice and fresh, you keep it in the earth. You don't do that? You don't keep any potatoes in your back out? No? No? All right. Okay. So he says that if you want to keep some potatoes or lefes, possibly what you do is you keep it in the boil, you keep it in the yeah. And now what happened was that the upos chona akum, the guy came beyond Tevoy b'Shabbos. You had this guy who was just so enthusiastic, he couldn't help himself. He started digging and he took one of your potatoes. Oh, you know what? The point being that he dug it open. Now the potatoes are available. Again, on Yom Tov, you certainly cannot dig to get your potatoes. You may not dig. But here you've got a goy who opened up and now the potatoes are accessible. Mind you, it doesn't have to be a goy. It could actually be a dog as well, a havdil. You know, now it's open up. The point being is that really, without that incident, the potatoes or the parsley would have been inaccessible because it's 7 feet under. Pardon? Turnip. Oh, turnip. Good, thank you. For person, the akum b'yom tov b'Shabbos, and the goy open it up. The ein boy m'shamukta, it's not considered mukta. Now the goy of achenim also akum of achen, but im also akum l'tzorech Yisrael. If the goy did it for the yid, avinu aperish el akum, even if the vegetable is that belongs to the goy, if it was done for the yid, also it's also bachile v'tiltor, it remains mukta. Had matzah Shabbos v'yomtev, b'chdesh yase. Okay, Rabbi Isai, let's get this clear. We've got over the scenario of a potato or a or any vegetable which is in the cool earth. Really, on yomtev, can you get it? On the normal circumstances, can you get it? You can't, because you cannot dig on Yom Tov. But what happened was, somebody, you know, allowed himself to, the guy was digging, and it's now free, and now you want to know if you can take this, yes or no? The answer is yes, you can. How do you know from our Shulchan Aruch? Just like, what's the comparison? Just like by the house. Just by the house, when Ifchas. Now it's breached, now you can take the payers from the breached house, you can now take it. Similarly also, you can take from the potatoes that some, you know, on the earth. What's the comparison? What's the comparison? What's the point? Once it becomes accessible. Yeah, so why would I have thought it might be also? Why would I have thought I cannot take the potatoes?
Maybe it was hooked to meat
item. Why is it mukta? You can't access it, it says mukta. So what is it now? And now what happened was that somebody, the goy was digging and he opened it up. So why is he okay now? It was done by Etz, and therefore it's not Muktzeh anymore. Maybe. Okay, so that we would say. Let's learn like that. Migud is Katsoi, how would you say it? Okay, now Lemaisa, the Mishneh Berurah, a bit of an anticlimax. We'll see soon why. The Mishneh Berurah says the Ein Lo'akel B'chol Zeh Kim Shas Chakis. Actually, don't like. Actually, I think it's Mukta. These parsnips which were at this underneath, I think it's actually Mukta. Don't take it. You know, the guy was digging it. So it's actually Mukta. The Mishneh Berurah leaves it unless it's Shas Chak. Reb Shlomo Zalman therefore says, "What's the halacha, Rabbi? You forget to switch the light off of the fridge. Has it ever happened to you?" Well, it happens. It happens, no? Okay, imagine the following scenario. The fridge light remained open. Now the question is, say, you only realize that the light was on after opening it. I will not go into the shaila now what you should do or shouldn't do with the fridge door. Let's leave this out for now. The question rather should be, can you take the items from the fridge? Why is that a shaila? Just like you are not allowed to take, what was the case of the potatoes in the ground? What did we say? That
they weren't
accessible, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah paskens that what? You can't take it. You can't take it. Even if the guy was digging it and it's free and open now, Mishnah Berurah says you can't take those items because they were mukta. You can't access it. It's mukta. So what would you say about the fridge? The fridge also, similarly, really, the fridge is something which was not accessible now. The items in the fridge were not accessible because the light was on. So therefore, just like you cannot, according to Mishnah Berurah, you cannot get to the potatoes in the earth because they are not accessible. Go open it up, could be, but it's still really not accessible. Better. So the Mishneh Berurah paskens it's also. So similarly, also you should say that the items in the fridge, once the light was on, should really have been a situation that you cannot really get. It's muktzah. You cannot take it. So that would you therefore say that in an incident, somebody forgot to switch the light off the fridge, you open it up. Forget it, you can't take the items of the fridge. Would you say that? Yes or no? Beautiful, Shlomo Zalman. Unbelievable. I just enjoyed just that question itself is pure enjoyment. How goinish is a person to realize that this case of the Baal Shem Oleh Peiros fits actually in our kitchens, in our fridge? I think it's brilliant. I love it. I think it's Shlomo Zalman at its purest. Just the question itself is worth a million. Yeah, let's see why it's not.
Isn't it different? Because the light's not intrinsic.
Oh! Very good. Says Rabbi Tepa, you can't compare because the light in the fridge is an external factor. When it comes to the earth, I'm thinking the earth, the potatoes, the earth, that's the situation. It's just, you can't get to the potatoes without the earth. It's just, that's part and parcel of the situation. When it comes to the fridge, so the light over there is an external factor. Why is it external? Because very good. The Pshlem Zaman says that. That's what Pshlem Zaman says. I find it difficult to understand, but Pshlem Zaman goes there. Pshlem Zaman wants to say you can't compare because you can't. He says there is always a way to open the fridge without switching the light on and off, and therefore it's not Muktzeh. I've never in my life succeeded that. I've tried it, non-Shabbos, but I've tried it, and I've never succeeded opening a fridge without putting the light on and off. I've tried it. It works? Oh, there you go.
It was very risky,
but it worked. Yeah. Right, okay, there you go, fine. So if so, we understand the Shlomo Zalman, and that's it. Very good, it works, there you go, it works. Fine, so full credit to you and to Shlomo Zalman. So if that's the case, and the items in the fridge are not considered Muktzeh, and it's not comparable to the scenario of the potatoes, and similarly, it's not comparable to the case of Mishneh Berurah, who is Machmir, and therefore there's not room to be lenient, but it's actually Mutter, and the items in the fridge are not going to be considered Muktzeh. To summarize what we learned this evening, we learned, that noitlim eitzim asmuchim, if you've got woods which are leaning on the sukkah, or in fact the schach as well, which are not part and parcel of the sukkah, or whether it's Yom Tov sukkahs or not, this is not muktzah, and it's not considered stira to take this out and you can use it for your fire. It's not considered muktzah. Similarly, we learned that in a bais shomale peiros, you've got a house which is full of fruit, and it breached open. There's an opening now. You can take the fruit from there, and it's not going to be considered muktzah. Although there was no intention initially to access it, but now it's open, you can take it. Mishnah Berurah discusses the case of the boir, of the pit, if you keep things nice and cool down there. So if a goy opens up, you can take it. It's not going to say muktzah. Mishnah Berurah doesn't like it. It's machmir lemaisa. And it says, with this, we have completed Siman Tov Kuf Yud Ches, and we shall be continuing with Shem tomorrow with Siman Tov Kuf Yud Tes. I wish you a very good evening.